entitled to make lessons, yes, yes, discipline is a life, which is kind of a combination of the words that we will explore here in the next few minutes. I wanted to do a brief review. I think that tends to help everybody. I know everybody can't be here 100% of the time. So I like to kind of, I always want to build on the foundation that we started. So my Roman numeral one this morning, that's pretty much what every week is going to be reviewed. And just wanted to mention that previously, in time for refreshing, we studied Hebrews 4. We're going to study it again. And we found that really in the most basic terms, that as we are studying the topic, time for refreshing, the subtitle is rethinking work and rest, or rest and work. I never can remember which way that works, but whichever it works for you, it's where we're rethinking it. And that rest, the most basic form, the most basic answer as to how to get rest, Hebrews 4 tells us, is that when we listen to God's voice, isn't that the easy answer? And as I said last week, we do need to do that. But we can rest because of who it is that's sleeping, y'all. And that's really the whole thing. Is that we know God who is all powerful. He's sovereign. He loves us utterly and completely. Just as he is. Exactly like that. Right now, today. And he wants to hear more than the last two things coming up. See, that is true. And we can rest in what he said because his word of truth, that's the definition of truth according to my judgment, that his word of truth. And that his word of faith, it says in Romans 10:17, and faith is what we're talking about today. The people who have a promise of rest back in the wilderness, trying to get into the promised land, didn't benefit them. The promise represented them because they didn't have faith to go with it. So when we listen to God, the grammar words that he speaks to us, taking his spirit, taking his word, speaking it to our hearts through faith, faith comes back to us in that word. So our quest and our prayer of last 4 weeks has been, we do believe God, we do believe, we believe that you are God, we believe that you are truth, we believe that you can speak, we believe that you can rest. We talk about unbelief because there's part of us that's still not believing that or we've been experiencing it. So what's the prayer in that? That's a biblical prayer from God. And then the other prayer that we've started working on is, Lord, we do hear. Help us to tune out all those other voices. You know, because we've got all those things blocking our receiver. Lies, things we've brought forward from our past experiences, other people, our culture, lots of other voices. Our fears, our flesh, it says. So what we've been trying to do is to actually apply these principles to our circumstances. We'll get to do that again this week. I didn't feel like that flowed very well on the worksheet this week, but I have plugged along with us and we're able to just maybe take these principles and take a circumstance and try to put them together. Hopefully that made that a little bit easier for us this week, and I hope we'll do that this week. Because what we want to do is remember these great truths about rest in our everyday lives so that we can rethink, so that we can repent, which means to see it as God sees it, and that we can't therefore actually maintain the basis for so that we can repent in the presence of the Lord. So that's how we get it. So this week we're going to go back to Hebrews 4. I'm going to read from the message again, Hebrews 4, starting in verse 8, at the end of the chapter. And so this is still a live promise. It wasn't canceled at the time of God's law. Otherwise, God wouldn't have renewed the appointment for today. So we've got a divine appointment with God. Today, the promise of arrival and rest is still there for God's people. God himself is at rest. And at the end of the journey, we'll surely rest with God. So, let's keep at it and eventually arrive at the place of rest, not drop out through some sort of disobedience. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and to obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. Now, what we know Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have to have a priest who's out of touch with our reality. See, let that sink in for a minute in that place that you really are having a hard time doing this. We don't have a high priest. Jesus, our high priest, is not a priest who's out of touch with our reality. So let's walk, rise up in Him, and get what He has said, ready to give. Take the mercy of God. Okay, so we finished last week with the challenge of deciding which voice we were going to listen to, and that, hey, pretty much it's our choice. But again, verse 11 of Peter's 4 tells us we have to work at it. We have to strive diligently to earn God's rest. So I had a chance to strive diligently to earn God's rest this week. I always get to practice, as I said earlier. These were some short-term circumstances, and sometimes that's a really good way to demonstrate what God's doing. So I was in the middle of a little short-term circumstance, and God reminded me of the principle about which voice you're going to listen to, your choice, Kathy. And I was thinking about the process, and as I was thinking about His rest and promise that it was for today, for this situation, He reminded me of something. I'm real visual of a learner, and this is a handle on how to battle weariness. Bowen, and by police. That's the definition, you get tired or exhausted, factual, I usually associate the word more with burden, so grief. So that's one kind of weary. Second kind of weary is the one that Hebrews 12 talks about. Hebrews 12, 3 says, you know, fix your eyes on Jesus. Look at the way he died so that you won't grow weary. And that kind of weary is to grow weary, to grow sick, to be sick to death. There are any places in your life that you are sick to death of? I've got a couple of those. I'm sure you all do too. So my personal take on this was this. As I meditated on it, as I prayed over it, I felt like there was more than one kind of death. There's a kind of death that we got is not a productive kind of death. It's that I'm sick to death. And so what that meant leads to what he said. Teacher, I'm going to be much happy with so that you won't grow weary in your God. That is a non-productive type of dying. Because what it is basically capitulating, growing over, giving up, giving in to defeat. Then there's a better kind of weary that we're all subject to, y'all. We're human beings. We have a limited and finite strength. And we have burdens in this life. And so that's the kind of weary, the other kind of weary. And the other kind of death is that we can die, whether it's the I'm sick to death weary or the I'm just tired because I'm a person and life's hard, that kind of weary. We've got both of those, and we to enter by rest and to follow Jesus and to do it like he did it. We want to do it in a productive life here in the way. We die in a way that brings life to the people of Jesus today. And the Lord led me to Isaiah 53 that I think will kind of help us see how that works. I'm reading just three verses from that chapter. It's a fabulous chapter, but time won't allow us to really dig into it. Isaiah 53:3 says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterness and grief. So that would say to me that kind of thing. As well as, I'm sure he was weary in his human way. I mean, he fell asleep at the boat, he sat down at the well, and when he was dead, he was in the water. So we know Jesus, we talk to him, he sympathizes with him that day. And then let's see in verses 11 and 12, and I like the way the message said it. He says, sometimes he uses it, and I think it's 3 11 and 12, and then he says this. Out of that terrible travail of soul, Jesus is talking about, will see that it's worth it, and he's glad he did it. With what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, the Son of the Father, will make many righteous ones, as he himself carries the burden of your sin. Therefore, I'll reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honor, because he looked death in the face and he didn't flinch. Because he embraced the company of the lowest, he took on his own shoulders the sins of men, he took up the cause of all the righteous and that blessed. So anyway, you see that Jesus endured the ministry, and he was glad he did it. He was glad he did it because it was productive. It brought fruit. It brought many sons to the Lord that said, and he looked at the fact that he did it, and he did it, and he did it quickly. So we can praise Jesus. We watch how he did it, and we can praise him. The way we can best do that is to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's one of the powerful statements we can make with our mouth, with our heart. You've got to make it with your heart. For it to really be powerful. So saying it from your heart is very powerful. Because it takes you to unsettle the place that Satan cannot reach you. He can't get you. He can't even get you. He really says, yes, Lord, I know you will. I have to take your call. I'm going to die for whatever it is that I think is supposed to look this way, it's supposed to feel this way, it's supposed to happen this way, and this amount of time. But I'm going to die to that. Satan can't touch me. And what I learned is that, you know, really, dead people, you think that if we really get all that stuff that's distracting us so much, really kind of get that away. You know, you still have to get some surprise by saying, hey, I don't like this basket. Those flowers are not where I want it. And seriously, you pick that song, I mean, you know, you're resting. They are in peace. All those details are not bothering them. So, yes, Lord. So we really, 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 really can. It's not just something we said, it sounds that we can come to heaven and get it, even in the spirit, we can get to that place. And we get there, and I thought, well, Lord, I'm telling you, perfectly, Galatians 2:20. I'm like, oh, yes, how can I not say that? Galatians 2:20 says, I have crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that is the old man, the ego, the carnal nature. I have no longer live, but Christ is in me, and this life and all that stuff I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave me something. That helped me die after that. You do it by just saying, hey, Jesus, I really don't think I can do this in a minute, but you say you've already done that for me. So will you just do that for me? That works really well, y'all. It's a big deal that I'm going to produce that kind of response from her. And you know what? It's just so amazing to really hear. It's a really big thing. Free, free play. And, you know, another thing, I don't know if this will do it for you, but it did come to my mind. So look at the examples of people like Paul, Jeremiah, Job. We didn't get to sing the song from Job, chapter 1, 2, or 3, and we did from 1 chapter 7. But he says, Job has just lost everything except for his nagging, pleasant, unpleasant life. And what Job did was hit the dirt and say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. I mean, wow. Talk about powerful. Talk about unassailable. Talk about can't touch that. So anyway, and so here are some things that Paul, Jeremiah, and Job said. That when we have eyes of faith, when we're willing to say yes, Lord, when we are willing to take up our cross and die, we can say about anything. It's good. It's acceptable. It's perfect. Paul said that. He wrote that. I don't remember where he was when he wrote around, but he this is a guy that spent the majority of his Christian life in the jail. Jeremiah tells us that God's plans are to prosper us. Job said, when he was talking about the furnace of affliction, he said, I'm coming out gold. We can say that, y'all. Thank you, Jesus, that this is burning my soul. This is burning my flesh. But I thank you, God, for coming out for that. You're purifying, you're refining, you're going to make me shine. You're going to use this to make me a reflection of your glory. And that at the end of Job, even after all of that, we see him in the first part of the book say, blessed be the Lord. Then you see him in the middle of the book saying, I'm coming out well. But even at the end of the book, even after all of that, 42 chapters of it, he says, Lord, I thought I needed to say, Lord, but I see you. And it's like Jesus saying, you're the bitter scripture. And I love it. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad you did it, God. Lord, it's in my head. So, basically, what that means is that God, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, Jesus fixes our eyes. How great is that? But as we've been saying, following Jesus is not natural. It requires revenue or free, discipline, training that is going to enable this work. So we want to grow. We want to get strong in this. Our old man is strong. He is well trained. He is in good shape. Our new man needs training. He needs to be equipped none of it enter by breath, but y'all don't. See, you understand that, right? That we have by breath. It is ours. It's the gift. It's your promise. We got it. So, not only do we need to train to even just find the rest that's ours, but once we find it, guess what we have to do? Maintain it. So, I mean, we do a lot of training we've got to do here. You know, I know I do. Anyway, some of y'all may be masters of this, but I just know that this is requiring some training on my part. And just wanted to give the smiley face version of Hebrews 12:11. It's in the message. It says, at the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely. For it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. And I would like to underscore the word relationship. That's the prize. You know, we talk about this as a thinking issue. This is a believing issue. This is a mindset issue. And so, therefore, it kind of is a habit issue. And I look on the internet. You know, I've heard various things about 40 days, 21 days, so I typed in on my Google search bar, how long does it take to form a habit? And there was all, there was a lot of 21 days. And then there were a lot of these scientific articles that had studied individuals who were trying to do diets, new exercise regimes, and to quit doing this bad habit, and quit doing this bad habit. And what they found was it really does vary by individual. And it varies by the reward system. And I think in that, we know the answer to that. Abraham told us that in the first book of the Bible in Genesis 15. You, God, are our grand reward. God's a reward. And you may not believe that yet, but if you will take and see, He is so good. He's so, so good. So we want to strive diligently to enter His rest and make those new habits. We don't want to fall short, as it says in Hebrews 4:11, of some sort of disobedience. So let's think about that. It's a really an imperative. It's a warning to us that he says about the Israelites. I love this. We had talked about a couple of habits to say. All things that happened back in the New Testament, we really can't apply that. We gave a couple of verses to that. Well, I found another verse that says that, and it calls it a mystery game. It's in 1 Corinthians 10, I mean, pretty much the whole chapter, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses, 1:5, 11-13, from the New Living. So 1 Corinthians 10, says, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, what happened to our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. God was not pleased with most of them. And then it goes on to list all the stuff they did. All these events happened to them as examples for us. So there you go. You can apply this because their gift has happened as an example for us. They were written down to warn us. If you think you're standing strong, be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. But remember, for certain, that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. So there's our hope. There's our strength. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so you will not give in to it. So I thought that incorporated this thing about unbelief, faith, and thinking, because it says God wasn't pleased with things. And we know, we all know this from Bible school, when we were weak little things. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, because of Hebrews 11:6. And so what happened to them? Doubted. I mean, boy, that's the oldest trick in the book, is doubt. Did God really say? Genesis 3:1, Satan uses that all the time, doubt, but unbelief. exist in the sight of God. It is willful rebellion. And there were some in the wilderness that fell into that camp. I mean, they just spoke out against God. They just spoke out against Moses. They rebelled. They were the conscience. But most of the people in the camp were good old, salt of the earth, people of God, just following Moses, because God said so. You know, here's what they had. Beware, brethren, take care lest there be in any of you a wicked, unbelieving heart which refuses to cleave to, trust in, and rely on Him, leading you to turn away and desert or stand aloof from the way of God. But instead, warn, admonish, urge, and encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened into settled rebellion like those few people that. By the deceitfulness of sin, by the fraudulence, the stratagem, the trickery, which the elusive clamor of sin may play on. For we have become fellows with Christ and share in all He has for us, if only we hold out a first confidence and original expectation. We are believers firm and unshaken to the end. So then, while it is still called today, if you would hear His voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your heart in rebellion, as in the rebellion of yesterday. So basically, what that's saying again is, listen, listen, listen. Don't just say, yeah, I know, but that's too hard. Yeah, I know, but I'll do it better than that. You think today, but you pay attention that day. And I did want to add just one more little blurb part up here about these habits. Just something, because there's a question in the homework, not a right to the other one. If the way habits are formed is if there's some trigger. I got this off the phone. And then that trigger causes you to go to some routine or habit. You know, people use the example on the road with people. I mean, it's 5 o'clock, we're off of work. So you either go to happy hour, or you go to the gym, you know? And it depends, the choice you make depends on, guess what? The reward. And basically that, you know, takes it back to the, you know, it's just a cycle we go through. That's how habits are formed. Is that we have some sort of thing that prompts a thought in our head and that prompts a behavior in our head. It is a habitual thing that is just like a rut that goes over and over and over again. We just get trained in it. So that's that discipline. So we get trained in a healthy thing. And the way we want to do that, y'all, I think, is here. I think that's where the giving thanks day, that's where this next one meal comes in. That's really hard. See, it's got to be about relationship. It's got to be about God. It's got to be about Jesus. It's got to be about this love. It's got to be about kindness. Because if I'm, you've told us that already. You said it every week, I think. I'm sorry to repeat, but see, I'm just getting that because I'm having to remind myself, making a new habit, you know. But it's kindness that leads us to this now. It's kindness that leads us to change our mind to do that. This is kindness that causes us to see it from this point of view, so that we can refresh. So, we're going to learn. And good idea, it's the right thing to do, all those things like that, that we want that. So we want to get in touch with a true one. And as a family person, I put it on the appreciation page, it says, we will only stay good in our discipline as we make the relationship our focus and our goal. And the verse is 1 Samuel 22:26, when we live in God, is what God should say to us. You show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, if they know, if you think good come out of that, well, you show yourself, you show integrity. Come and say faithful. So see, we can still have integrity and do it back. Economic downturn, I probably work with that. Anyway, 2008 financial, everything happened. And he said, Yeah, I would have. That was a good quarterback. And I thought, I thought he couldn't help that. But y'all, in my mind, that was still, it was one of the other voices things in my head. And so it came to me kind of script. And this has been places that probably your chance to, okay? So it came to me kind of script. And it was my day. It was my day to do a 30 dip. It would be one white spot I had on the collar. I thought, I think that today I had gone through a really sweet lady that's traveling and did this program. She'd done a research at Europe Wise. I had just like maybe two choices to make. But this wasn't hard enough. We're going to leave on this day. We're going to save it. That's all. That was only taking about 30 seconds. Oh, that's another one. We'll do the same. We'll save this one. Yeah, I was sitting there on my sofa and your lady called right in the middle and I'm looking at this stuff and she said, what's your mom? I said, how did it send that trip? And she said, I don't have to go. I said, no, I can't get any peace. Y'all, I could not get at peace. I couldn't get at peace. It didn't feel right. I couldn't pull the trigger. I just couldn't do it. So I don't know. You know, I just don't know. She said, what do you people play the ball? I said, and she said, yeah, because you just keep saying, this is not really where you want to go, but God wants to go there. I'm like, oh, yeah. No. I told him. I said, when he said, okay, now I want you to, you know, get on this trip, he said, okay, so we're going to take this trip in the fall. Let's go in November and our anniversary time. And he said, so we're going to take this trip. And I said, this is what I said to him. I said, okay, now is this the trip where I get to see anywhere in the world? And he said, no. So I just said, oh, okay. And so I got on the page and we're taking the trip. It's not that you were in the work trip. Y'all, here is what I saw in that moment when I'm sitting on the phone. I'm like, did not see this? Are we getting to go to another place? I'm not thinking, what is wrong with this picture? Right? And this is what the Lord showed me. I got off the phone and I got really strong. I thought, what are these people placing? And I thought, I need to get started. The thing about where we stand, and I will tell you this is kind of deeper thing, is that trip that my family as a child meant something to us. Like, my daddy was, I think he struggled with depression. I think he never used that word, but I think he did. And he was scared of what I know now. And I absorbed a lot of his sadness as a child. And so we would sit on the National Geographic for the hours and the map. And getting to go someplace was kind of like an escape. It meant way more than what it was. If we could just go to the Grand Canyon, then all that happened. Yeah. That's, I think, I thought that message. So I think there was, you know, a lot that I could say about this. I'll just tell you, the Lord touched on, I've been through a lot of work where I'm at the past. I'm thinking, well, I'm going to pick again. What do we do? And what the Lord showed me this time is that he said, get that. You know, I thought I got still, and I just thought, Lord, I'm going to hear your breath, and I know I did, and I was going to hear your breath, so I want to die to myself here. I don't want to take a trip to the flesh. And I am willing to call this one to do what you call, all the trouble and say, thank you for doing all the great work, but we're not that way to take it. Because I really didn't want to do that. I was willing to do that. That's what God was saying to me to do. If there's many people thinking, I will do that. And then I did the discipline of doing stuff with everything I could. I'm just thinking, oh, that sounds so grateful. What are you doing? Quit thinking that helps me out. Yeah. Still, I feel like it's really good. When I got stuck with it, that didn't take me back in 2008 when I threw that one. Oh, yeah. And then I got without you, God. That's the thing that got me through. And Catherine had sent a car tag really, a member has, this is sometimes when you start on the, if you write them up, this is only the office. I know, I've had you guys have to be the family that were, and I think that was the whole that I'm going to get to. I didn't know, we can, and so with Bob, and I sat that, sat down that night, like, television, we were talking about going to Hawaii, and I know we were going to Hawaii. We turned on the television, and guess what, Hawaii, Colorado. And so, we both just started laughing, and we had to lie. So anyway, I just wanted to say that I'm really interested, and if you remember that here from the era, seriously, that you're here. So let me close this worship, kind of tie all that together. It's Isaiah 55, 10 through 13, the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow, where briars grew, the myrtle will sprout up. This miracle will bring great honor to the Lord's name. It will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. So that I just understand.